Hello, everybody, and welcome to the bonus content for Small Town Murder.
Yay.
This is I'm James. This is Jimmy. We know who we are. You guys, if you're listening to this, you know who we are. Probably we don't have to introduce ourselves. Just in case, I'm James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Westman.
There you go, Jimmy Westman. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is going to be some bonus content. We're going to do this every 2 weeks, and it's going to be something different every time. It's not going to be a story. It's not going to be like a Small Town Murder episode, right? Because those are really hard to put together.
It's so a lot of work.
Once a week is plenty for those. Yeah. But for this, we're going to fill in any of the gaps. We're going to maybe answer questions. Yeah. We're going to give updates on cases if we get them, shows, stuff like that. Maybe talk about future stuff. We're going to do anything like that, and you guys, feel free, please, to contact us and tell us what you want out of this bonus content. If you want to hear something, we're open to it. This is basically behind the curtain, we were told it has to be 25 minutes long, and it doesn't matter what we talk about as long as it's vaguely Small Town Murder related.
And you guys want it, so tell us what
it's
you
about.
Want.
It's all about you guys. This has nothing to do with us. This is not for ourselves. This is for you guys. We just want to give you guys some bonus stuff. So tell us what you want. Do that. If you do it, do it on social media and hashtag STM bonus. If you hashtag STM bonus, we can, you know, find it easier,
right?
And do all of this,
call the questions or the ideas.
Exactly. And we love to hear it. We want to hear from everything. So like I said, every 2 weeks this is going to do. Every other week we're going to do this. Right. So let's get started, Jimmy.
Sure.
This week we're going to answer some questions. We're going to start it off with that, because we've had a lot of questions that kind of build up over time, and we haven't had a chance to answer them in anything but a Twitter, one-line answer or something. So instead, let's get into some questions this week. I am excited about this.
I did implore you guys on Twitter to tweet me questions.
Yes.
And these are the responses from that tweet.
Thank you.
First from Irreverent, or at Booze and Sass.
Okay.
And she,
I like that,
or he would like to know, West or East Coast rap, James?
East Coast. No, 1,000,000,000%.
I tend to listen to both of them when I was in high school, but I gravitated towards Outkast and UGK and 8-Ball and MJG.
So you like Southern Midwestern shit. I hate that shit.
It's like cowboy rap, but it was like gangster, like thug black guys.
I was like,
that sounded like what my family sounds like.
I was specific to, like, I don't really like shit from that borough of New York.
All
like
right.
It was so New York specific. Yeah. It was like, more like I like Queens shit. Like, I like this, but I don't really like. I was that specific to it. I'm a big Nas, Wu-Tang, fucking Redman, and all that era. And that
Redman was Jersey, wasn't he?
He was Jersey, but he was in with Wu-Tang because him and Method Man did shit. And Redman's from the fucking moon.
Yeah.
Redman is from Mars, and that shit does not matter, like, where he's from, because he's awesome.
They should have made him an honorary inductee of Wu-Tang for
They really should have.
He did everything anyway.
Him and Method Man did movies together, for Christ's sake. Multiple movies.
And
they
Blackout,
made
the Blackout album was
so
maybe
high.
Better than anything that Wu-Tang put. Well, that's blasphemous.
Fuck,
that's
first
an
one
asshole.
Was amazing. Yeah. Yeah, 36 Chambers is great, but fuck, man. Can't wait. Yeah. You find me a funnier song than Can't Wait.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get about rap, by the way. I don't get it. I didn't get it then, and I don't get it now, is you can be like Eminem and Redman figured it out.
Right.
You can be hard and funny at the same
hilarious.
Time. You can do both. Yeah. And other people don't figure that shit out. They're either goofy or they're like, I'm going to kill you and stab a cop in the throat, and that's all they're talking about.
Method Man was pretty funny, too.
Method Man was funny, too. But Redman was, his shit was actually
He had legit punchlines.
He was ridiculous. Yeah, he was ridiculous. So I don't know. What do we got? What else we got?
A question for you is, what was your secret in managing to function after flying to four cities doing shows and then having to record three episodes since the first STM crash? mass amounts of coffee, cocaine, or some other kind of upper? Neither.
No, just uppers.
I mean,
I'm not an upper guy.
Yeah.
Upper guy. Uppers, you see how I am. This is me stoned and calm. So uppers are not good for me. Strictly caffeine and weed for me, babes. Yeah. That's it.
That was at Litip or Jenny.
What about you?
It's just hard work, man.
It's just
this whole show is just everything that we do is just hard work. It just takes that.
Legitimately
wanting it to be done.
The live shows, this is going to sound corny as shit, but literally the fact that you guys are feel like you want to come out and see us makes us like be able to go like to be tired and
we
go. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we have to. And we're like, holy shit, people actually want to come see us. Who knows how long that'll last? We better do it while they want us.
There's 800 people sitting in a theater somewhere. We have to get there.
That sounds amazing. And we're like so psyched about that, that we are, it feel make us float right through.
That's the motivation.
Yeah, definitely.
Nicole Trudeau at Trudeau Nicole. That wasn't, well, yeah, that's what it is. It's her last name, then her first name.
Oh, all right.
What's your favorite gift you've received from a listener at a live show besides that weird stick thing? The guy in the front row had us, in front of us had in Boston. I don't know what that was.
Weird stick thing.
I didn't get that.
No.
He kept it. He didn't give it to us.
No.
Maybe that was a walking stick.
Oh,
maybe you saw
a
blind man.
You might have seen a blind man or a man with some sort of handicap, some sort of disability.
You are judging him, Nicole.
You're judging him. He's just crippled from MS. Poor man spends every night in pain, and you're just judging him. We get lots of cool shit.
Yeah.
Live show stuff. God, we've gotten so much cool stuff. I really like those knives we got. They were like personalized and awesome.
Yeah,
and
the ones from Oregon.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah.
Portland.
You got the jersey, the cool John Elway jersey.
Yeah,
that
but
was awesome.
I've also got that. Something that I use constantly is just that it's that the guy in Minnesota that made those rings into.
Oh, those are cool
as
shit.
The
necklace.
I fucking wear that all
the time.
Yeah,
that's cool as hell.
I love it.
That's cool as hell. God, we get so much cool stuff. It's hard to say. We got. I got LT socks that are fucking awesome from somebody that are really cool. Stuff like that. Yeah, we get, it's anything that's like a personal thing that we like, we mentioned something 6 months ago and then this person remembered and popped up and gave it to us. And we're like, I remember 6 months ago on an episode you mentioned this and that, that blows us away.
We mentioned Yoo-Hoo how long ago now?
Yeah,
over a year
ago.
We
love Yoo-Hoo.
And a 12 pack of cans just
that was amazing.
In the
it's
box
so
today.
Good in cans. It's the only way to drink Yoo-Hoo.
Carrie Taylor at CamTT79 says, which celeb or comedian would you want to spend a day with? Why? Any plans to do Small Town Murder on YouTube? Most embarrassing moment in stand-up? Come to Maryland. We just worked.
We were just.
Again, she said.
Oh, again.
I think she missed it. Oh, okay. She had a great time, she
oh,
said.
Oh, great.
Well, what the shit,
oh, we had
Carrie?
A blast in Maryland.
We're doing our best.
Yeah, we liked it there. That was a great show. Great place. We had a blast in Maryland. All right. Start from what's the first one?
Okay. Celebrity or comedian you want to spend the day with? I can answer that from
Jesus.
James.
You answer.
I can
yours.
Answer that for James. James would like to spend time with nobody.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, that would be my gift to myself. Of can I have a day alone? That'd be good. Maybe Sarah, me and Sarah, watch some TV.
You did go see a baseball game with Fitzsimmons. That was
I did. That was
cool
fun.
Yeah.
Greg Fitzsimmons was really good. He was. That was at a time too when like I was opening for him, and I was really just. I was pissed off at stand up, mm-hmm. and when you're opening for people, you never know where you're going because you don't have a direction. Mm-hmm. You don't have an agent. All you have is like when people decide to book you once in a while. Right. So it's all very hit and miss. And he just took me to a baseball game and treated me like a decent guy. It was the second time
like
I opened for him. He treated me like a comic, and at the time I needed that. And he was a guy who I respected so much in comedy that used the word career in terms of you.
In relation to you?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And comedy.
That's
so sweet. So that made me feel like a real comedian. And he was really nice to me and gave me just a lot of really good like business advice of don't let this person do this to you. Fuck this guy. This guy's an asshole. Yeah. You do this shit this way. Real good like tell people to go fuck their mother advice because he's
great.
Like that. Otherwise, though, I don't know, man. I don't want to hang out with anybody. I don't know.
That's
gonna be weird.
I love Doug Stanhope, and I love any time I'm around him. But every time I'm around him, I end up needing an IV the next day.
He's
the man drinks, and he makes you drink. He doesn't push booze on you. You just want to drink when you're around.
It's his environment.
It feels great.
It's his orbit.
Yeah.
It's his boozy
he's
orbit.
Outstanding.
I'm trying to think other people. Like,
or Howard Stern.
Like
those
are my guys. You would love
Howard
Stern,
and Doug. Those are my guys. I like degenerates and crazy people.
Yeah, and like a lot of people I'm thinking of are like people that I like that are like I like, but they don't seem like they'd be any fun to talk to. I love Don Mattingly, but he seems like he'd be boring as shit to talk to. He's just some baseball player from Indiana.
You guys would talk fucking
he's
sports
super
numbers.
Boring.
My fucking eyes
Maybe.
Would spin in the
I don't
back
feel
of my
like
head.
I feel like he'd be real like not even. He's not real talkative. I just don't feel like it would be that way. You know, I would. God, that's a tough one, man. Maybe.
Do you have any embarrassing moments from stand-up?
I don't know. Stand up embarrassing.
Hosting for Dave Chappelle. Or Dave, see, I just did it right again. Now. Hosting for Dave Attell in front of a sold out room. I called him Dave Chappelle when I put him.
That's
on stage.
Amazing.
That was the most.
And with gusto.
Yeah. I was like, get loud for Dave Chappelle. And I paused, and they knew what I was saying. Yeah, they knew what I was doing, and I deserved it. And they booed me. And I said, good. I deserve that.
Bring it.
But cheer for this man because it's Dave Attell, and he's one of my favorite comics.
That's
I love
hilarious.
Him to death.
It's like I know your name. Goddamn it.
Well, just told somebody that when I told somebody I was opening for Dave Attell, they were like, Chappelle? And I was like, no, Attell.
Attell.
So I think that conversation lodged Chappelle in my head because I would never, I've opened for that guy fuck 6 weeks in a row so many times. And he's I know him and I called him Chappelle.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. I don't know about embarrassing fucking, I don't know what, I don't know, I'm not easily embarrassed by shit, but like, that's embarrassing. I
wanted to throw myself off the balcony at the club. I felt
I
so
bet,
stupid.
Yeah. My worst, like, real, because like, we've all had shit times at like terrible shows, mm-hmm. like that you do when you first start, when it's like some bar or something.
Yeah.
But like, real comedy in a club, I'm trying to think of a bad experience. I opened for Dave Coulier. Yeah. That was embarrassing just to be a part of that shit.
And then Bobby Kelly kept asking you if I was a gay man.
Yeah, he goes, he's gay, right? Every time Jimmy left the room, he'd go, he's gay, right? He goes, I don't care, obviously. He goes, but come on, he's gay, right?
Just be honest.
I was just like, that's amazing.
Hysterical.
That is awesome.
If you're on death row, what's your last meal, James?
Oh,
that
Jesus.
Is from Jordan Bennett, by the way. It's her birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy
Jordan.
Birthday, Jordan Bennett.
Yes.
Jesus, last meal on death row. Wow. Oh, that's a tough
that's
one.
That's easy for me.
It's easy. I can have anything.
You're going to be in jail for how long before? I mean, all your appeals, all that shit
by the
runs
way,
out.
I would have wanted to hang out with Hunter Thompson before he died.
Oh, there you go.
That's a guy. That's a I would want to go to the fucking to the ranch in Woody Creek and hang out with.
Duplicate it.
Just have a day with Hunter Thompson in his home yeah. environment and just go crazy and shoot shotguns off at weird shit and fucking drop acid and have a wild time and write at 4 a.m. That sounds like fun. Sorry to get back. That's the,
what was the question, Jesus? It was on death row, your last meal. Now, that's easy for me because you're in jail for so long, exhausting appeals, sitting there for so long. You're gonna miss something. What are you gonna miss? And I'm gonna miss either a steak.
Yeah,
but I don't know that I'm gonna go with the steak. I'll probably end up with In-N-Out because I love In-N-Out burgers. They're
fuck
cheap.
Those Christian assholes.
With animal fries and a large Dr. Pepper. That's all it takes.
I think I want...
I'm not going to digest it anyway.
No, I think I want my grandmother's homemade macaroni.
Oh, do you think they would let it?
I don't know.
Would they do that?
I don't know. Would they let me?
If a prisoner was just like, listen, I want... My grandmother makes macaroni salad that's fucking crazy.
Not macaroni salad.
I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay, in general.
And, right. Just a random ass thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's... Listen, she makes so much. She makes it for picnics.
Guys.
She could fucking...
What if she brings enough for all the officers,
everybody,
too? Everyone on
officers,
death row.
Death row, everybody.
Come on, everybody. Macaroni salad all
I'll
around.
Get it all the way around.
My grandmother would be like, I'm not making it for them. But why am I making it for them for? They're not my grandson.
Hilarious.
I don't care who they kill. I don't want to make for them. No.
That'd be great if they would let you do that.
That'd be great, but that would be what I want.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
What's worse, panhandle or junior behavior? I think that's a pretty easy one.
That's a toss-up, I think.
I think
right
it's
there.
Pretty easy. I think there's more death from panhandle.
Well, there's
behavior.
More death from panhandle behavior, but there's more ruined lives, but mainly your own life from junior behavior. So, panhandle behavior. Yeah. Panhandle behavior is done outwardly.
You're right.
Junior behavior is mainly an inward problem.
But it's generally, there's just more bodies.
Family.
More bodies in the wake of panhandle
Absolutely.
Behavior.
There's way more panhandle bodies than junior bodies so far. Definitely.
And who said that? That was Jordan. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jordan.
And then, that was Goalpost Moving Company, the guy from HRL. What's HRL? Is that a place? Is that a thing that I don't know?
Head reel line.
Don't look at me, bud. That's just what he wrote. So,
okay. Thank you.
And that was the Panhandler Junior stuff.
Oh, okay.
And Jessica, the very last question, Jessica at Lady Fryer 2007 asks, who's your Dolly Parton? Because everybody knows that.
Who's what?
Who's your Dolly Parton? Because everybody knows what I got going on.
with your who's my? Do I have an obsession
have
like
one?
That?
Do you have like a famous woman that you obsessed over, or did you ever like Kelly Preston or some shit? Because you
Kelly
were at that
Preston.
Age. I don't know.
Kelly Preston.
I don't know. She was hot at one.
Nobody
point.
Has ever lusted after Kelly Preston.
Well, I mean, John.
Nothing
Travolta, apparently.
Well, yeah, yeah, he's. Okay, John Travolta.
he allegedly lusts after her.
No, I don't think anybody's really nothing against Kelly Preston, right. Which she's not really the lusty type. I'm trying to think of if I had celebrity like crushes ever. I've never really like been like a real celeb like star fucker type.
No.
When I was a teenager, I liked Alicia Silverstone.
Oh.
When I was a teenager,
yeah,
like because she was out when we were like the same. You know, she's like 2 years older than
Is
me.
She
or something.
A mess now. She's
no,
a mom, right?
She's weird.
Like mom advocate.
She's doing like she, yeah, she does like she like chews up food and spits it in her kid's mouth and shit. Weird.
That's
shit
right.
Like that. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
She does weird shit. She's a weird turned into an odd person.
I don't want my kid to choke on chicken, so I'll chew up the nuggets in front of everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one of those things. So I feel like it's a weird like I don't even know a bonding thing or some
thing?
Shit. Yeah, it's like a weird hippie bonding thing. I'm not sure. We're gonna get texts or we're gonna get emails about it and tweet. And telling us what the fuck
it is. It's how you get better at being a mom.
It might be great. We have no idea. We literally have no clue. I don't know. But yeah, when I see like this person chews their food and spits it in their kids' mouths, I go, oh, that's strange.
I wonder how she feels about
it. That's a woman who has too much time on her hands.
Right.
That's just a person who has way too much time on their hands to think about how to parent. Because like when you're a parent, you just fly by the seat of your ass and you fucking do it.
Right.
And it just you're happy at the end of the day. If you look around, they're asleep and alive.
Right.
And you have 5 minutes to yourself. You're like, whew, success.
Yeah.
This is I don't have time to worry about.
No SIDS in my day.
No. No symptoms there. So I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's weird. It's one of those things, though.
What is it? It makes me wonder what she feels about like antibiotics and shit like that. You know,
I don't know. I have never heard her. She's not. I haven't heard her join like the Jenny McCarthy train on the autism.
Well,
thing.
I'm sure she saw how she got fucking hammered for it.
Fuck, man. Yeah, but I mean, if you believe in that, I don't know. If
don't
you
know.
Believe in it, you believe in it. I mean,
and if you don't, you're a fucking.
But Jenny McCarthy gets hammered for it. But then there's also a huge group of completely ignorant. Fucking morons who prop her up.
Yeah,
they prop her up,
that's
her echo chamber.
Yeah.
When she puts her shit out, all those people tell her what she's brave and a genius because she's killing her child and things like that. She's putting her child in harm's way and ours and the whole herd. You're threatening the herd, you dumb twat. Stop it, Jesus Christ!
Just put a needle
Cut
in the
shit.
Kid's arm and he won't have polio.
For fuck's sake!
Ugh.
Well, one out of this many kids, they get a reaction to that. Yeah, and then the other ones. You know how many more die if you don't? You stupid asshole.
It's a numbers game, Jenny.
Yeah, my kid has autism, and if I fucking had another kid, I'd stick whatever goddamn medicines they had in that kid's arm too, because it doesn't cause that. It's fucking stupid. Stop saying that shit, you dumb bastards. With so much confidence, I'm positive that's not what happened. I'm sure it's something to do with me and my fucked up genetics or insanity, or I blame myself, obviously, not anything else.
I don't know. Maybe you are on the spectrum. You're the most focused person I've ever met.
Oh,
in my
I got
life.
I got weird things. Yeah. I'm a weird dude. It's possible. It's
You're
definitely
very quiet.
Possible.
You,
it's
you keep to yourself.
I do.
Yeah.
It's just weird because you wouldn't think that, judging by the show. That's the thing.
And the fact that you do stand up.
And I do stand up. Yeah, but
You're
I'm
very private.
That's all it is, really.
Yeah.
I'm just private. I have a thing. Honestly, this is my thing, everybody. I'm not like, hey, I'm too good to talk to people. I don't think people genuinely want to talk to me. I genuinely don't think they want to talk to me.
Right.
So I feel like whenever I talk to someone, I feel like there's a clock and I have quickly used up my allotment of time, no matter who it is, too.
Yeah.
It could be someone that came to see me, and I still think I got like 20 seconds before this person is severely disappointed with me and is going to fucking and is going to be checking their watch and going, how much longer do I have to talk to this person? So to avoid that, I would just rather just stay off to the side. I don't know. It's one of those things. Plus, I'm an observer.
Yeah.
I've always been an observer. I grew up in a fucking wacky family. Like, I grew up a lot in my grandmother's house with her screaming in Italian at everybody. And, like, the sisters are all running around, my mother and her sisters and all those people. And it's just like, you just, like, fucking, I remember, like, family gatherings. There'd be all the Italian-speaking craziness. And I would just sit and watch it and fucking take it in. And I knew everybody's mannerisms. And I knew this guy says this all the time. And so I would do imitations of people. It's just all I would do. And it's like, you can't get in the middle of it and still observe it at the same time.
I don't know. I'm the opposite. Where I
You
just,
jump right in.
I have to have people talking to me.
Dude.
Otherwise, I feel like they hate me.
Yeah. Oh, it's the, yeah. It's, I know.
So
much hatred for myself. I just go, yep, they feel the same way.
I feel like they definitely hate me, so I'm forcing them to talk to me. You feel like I can turn them.
Yeah.
You feel like I can win them over.
Watch me make this person like me.
I have been somewhere. I used to live in this shitty apartment complex, and I was walking outside. Jimmy came over. It was when we first were doing Crime and Sports. Jimmy came over to record. As he's leaving, we're talking outside. There is a guy walking by, not by us, like near us. We're on the street. He's on the sidewalk. There was a good 12 feet between us. We did not have to talk to each other whatsoever. That was not required. We don't live in a small town. This was Central Phoenix. He wasn't even looking at us.
Nobody said, hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all. He's walking his little dog, and I'm in a conversation with Jimmy, and he just turns to this guy, and he goes, hey, well, what's that, Jack Russell? And he just starts talking to this fucking guy. He walks over there, pets the dog, and I'm like, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? We don't know that person.
It was a Jack Russell.
And it was. You don't know that person. Now, I wouldn't have talked to that guy. If he was on fire, I may have told him he was on fire. Like, I might have been like, hey, you're on fire, just to let you know. But I was definitely not going to voluntarily. He walks over, hey, let me pet your dog. How's it going? Let me tell you about my juicer.
Yeah.
He's like ready to fucking go.
I can't wait. That's my
awesome.
Favorite.
I have to go back to the embarrassing moment of comedy. I did have this moment was embarrassing. It wasn't really my fault, but then I ate a plate of dicks afterwards based on this.
Yeah.
I was at this, it was like a private show. It was a fundraiser thing for this private school, right? And I'm there and they were auctioning shit off. They had an auction, they had a bunch of shit, and they auctioned
Sweet
off
Christ.
All this shit, right? And at one point, they're auctioning off golden retriever puppies, and they're like 7 weeks old,
Jesus.
And they're the cutest.
Yeah,
it looks like a fucking stuffed animal.
What
it's like
a hell gig, though.
Ridiculous, yeah. And there's kids there and shit too. Like, you know, it's a mixed crowd, and so, you know, I had to be clean and stuff. But still, I'm like, I can pull this off. I'll have some fun with the kids or something. Right. I'll figure this out. You know what I mean? So I get up there. I'm waiting. Before me is the golden retriever auction. So I'm like, this is good. Everyone loves puppies.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be in a good mood afterwards. So they auction off like six of these fucking puppies, right?
Yeah.
But they have seven.
Oh, no.
And the seventh one, they're trying to auction it off. And there's like 100 people there. There's not that many people there. So about six puppies is all you're going to be able to unload on. That's a big decision.
Who brought seven for 100 people?
That was the litter, apparently.
Thinking 100 people are going to home seven dogs?
That was the thing. A bunch of families, though. A bunch of kids with private school families.
Oh, maybe.
So they go on for like 3 minutes trying to auction off this dog. And the fucking dog... Nobody takes his dog.
Oh, no.
It's silence. And finally, the guy goes, listen, everybody, I cannot be responsible for the fate of this animal if nobody takes it. That's what he said. Dead silence. He waits 3 seconds. He shrugs his shoulders with the dog in his hand, shrugs his shoulders and goes, here's our comedian, everybody, and announces me. And then I walk out on stage to that.
Yes.
To horrified. Yeah. He literally said, we're going to kill this fucking dog. No? All right, here's your comic. Kids were crying. Right. There was tears, faces dropped, parents like tending to their children who were going, what are they going to do to the dog?
Now everybody's eyes are trained on this guy as he leaves the stage, not listening to a word you're ever going to say.
He might as well have said, I got a kiddie pool and a couple of jumper cables in the back, and this fucking dog is history. Here's your comedian. Like, it was a nightmare. Needless to say, that set didn't go well at all. And it's still my worst moment in comedy to this point in time. Jesus fucking Christ.
Thank you, sir.
A goddamn nightmare. That guy sucks.
And then what made us decide to do podcasts together, and how did we meet?
Oh, okay.
So how did we meet is a great story. That's
easy.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We met in a sleazy motel parking lot,
right.
Introduced by a drunken Scotsman.
That's a fact.
That's
two facts.
Two factual things. A drunken Scotsman. Scotsman comedian that we know, that we was a friend of both of ours, and he knew both of us, but we didn't know each other.
Right.
And he just he kept telling me, "You got to meet Jimmy. You got to meet this Jimmy. You guys would get along
so
well."
He said the same thing to
me.
He'd
say, "You got to meet James," and then he literally made us converge in a parking lot. He invited us both there at the same time, not telling us that that's why we were there, but he was brought us there to introduce to each other.
And his terrible extended stay apartment.
Oh yeah, he lived in a motel.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Think about when somebody lives in a motel. Like, think about
that's
what that looks like.
that's
what it looks like.
Think about what that smells like, yeah. And that's what it smelled like.
And the top floor was for the smokers, so smoke would go up,
yep,
I guess,
in
a way.
And his room was where he packed was. In it. Yeah, oof. Jesus.
Right at the end of the hall.
Him and his elderly father smoking their brains out in a fucking one-bedroom
apartment. Sweet.
It was a nightmare.
Jesus.
But, Jimmy, I made fun of my shoes. I think I made fun of his shirt.
And
then we went from there. And we fucking both laughed. We were both like, all right, cool. I like this fucking guy.
He can say it, too.
And, we were friends ever since.
Yeah.
And then the podcast, I thought about crime and sports for a long time. And I talked to Jimmy and was like, yeah, I got this idea. And he was like, yeah, that's cool. And kicked around for a little bit. And then we went out to lunch one day. We were like,
James was like, what do you say you come over tonight and we start?
Yeah, or tomorrow or whatever it was. Let's just do it. Let's just do it now.
And then here we are today.
We did it because we complained because we didn't like how comedy clubs treated us and how bookers treated us.
Right.
And because when you're an opener, you're a nobody and they don't give a fuck about you.
They don't have to.
And they don't care. And we were just tired of eating shit. And we said, we need our own thing.
Right.
And whatever that happens there, those people can fuck off. Maybe we can build an audience for our comedy through podcasts. And next thing you know, we were talking shit about Ray Carruth. And then here we are from there.
The bummer about comedy is exactly that when you're a regular at a club, they just book you to do whatever and for whoever, opening for whoever. You don't know what their audience wants sometimes.
Fuck no.
Sometimes you don't know who the headliner is.
I
opened for Rory Scovel. I didn't know who he was. I'd seen him on TV a couple of times, but I didn't know what he did live.
No.
And that's one of my favorite gigs ever. He's a wonderful person. But that's an example of I don't know exactly what that person does, and I'm terrified of what I'm walking into.
Within a two-week period, I think I opened for Dave Coulier and Dom Herrera. You can't get any more different than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A nice, great, genuine person and a really good comic and a fucking asshole who likes to make puppet noises. So you know who that is, because Dom Herrera don't make puppet noises, so there you go. Dom treated me like a fucking prince. What a great guy. He was like an old Italian uncle, and then this fucking breaking my balls about shit. And then Coulier goes, can you be like clean, like Full House clean?
Nope.
You fucking asshole. When he goes out there and says, shit, I could have clotheslined him off the stage. How great would that have been? How great of that would have been a moment in time. The opening comic comes out and clotheslines Dave Coulier while he's in the middle of a fucking bit
and then
lands in the third row.
Close it in like a Bullwinkle voice.
Yeah. That's all the show we got, everybody. All right. Have a good one. Did it? I dance off stage.
Drop a people's elbow on him and leave.
That would have been amazing. Unbelievable. I think we can close on me clotheslining Dave Coulier.
I would love it.
That has been Small Town Burner. Small Town Murder bonus content. Hope you guys enjoy. And we're going to be doing stuff like this, like I said, every other week. And we'll do something different. And maybe we'll mix it up, some updates, some questions. But we had a bunch of questions that we are asked all the time that we just wanted to clear out. So now you guys know.
Yeah.
So
send more.
Send more. Hashtag STM bonus. Thank you guys very much, and we'll see you on here in another 2 weeks.
Bye.